May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and redeemer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. Sometimes it's easy to define victory, and at other times it's not so easy. For instance, an easy victory in most athletic events, when the time runs out, whoever has the most points wins. With the exception of golf, whoever has the lowest points wins. Sometimes it's more difficult than that. Defining victory is harder when, for instance, you take a local project, a building project, such as the Ellicott City Reconstruction Project. Should we consider that in the victory column or not? On the one hand, you can say it's been a victory because they have mostly, if not altogether, rebuilt what was destroyed in July of 2016. But what if you define victory as bringing back all the businesses that were in Ellicott City, either by bringing back the businesses that were originally there or at least replacing the ones that had been there? On that score, we'll just have to wait and see whether or not it's been victorious. When we come to Easter Sunday, I want to focus on Christ's victory over death. I want to key in on the word victory and what that means in this context. I want to deal with 2 points, the nature of Christ's victory and the timing of Christ's victory. Our Lord Jesus Christ is victorious over death because he was truly resurrected on Easter Sunday. If you would have had a camera there, you would have seen Jesus coming out of the tomb bodily. That's what we mean by victory. But we experience it in time, at least the consequences and results. So first of all, the nature of Christ's victory over death gives us a real and a meaningful hope. Isaiah 53:10 says this, "But the Lord was pleased to crush him, putting him to grief. If he would render himself as a guilt offering, he will see his offspring, he will prolong his days, and the good pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hand." It's very important to note in Isaiah 53, which normally, and rightly so, we think about the death of Christ in Isaiah 53. But I want us also to see that there's hints of the resurrection as well in Isaiah 53. For the servant of the Lord here in this passage sees his offspring, literally his seed. If he were to die and remain dead permanently, seeing his offspring would not be possible. Hence, the servant seeing his offspring means that he will not remain dead permanently, but after his death will rise again, and as a living one, see his children. Let's dig a little deeper on that one. Under this first point, it's important to define the nature of what Christ rising means. When Scripture speaks of the resurrection, we're talking about God raising the physical body of Jesus on Easter. And also, based on that, our being raised physically at the last day. It's here we must see that resurrection is within the broader context of the biblical view of the material, physical realm. Since God is the God of creation, of all things, as we said in the Creed, both visible and invisible, he is the Lord and God of everything. All that God made was good, including the physical. So God made people, humans, mankind in his own image, male and female, he created them. He made us a composite of both body and soul, so that the soul is not given preference over the body, and the body is not given preference over the soul. The Lord Jesus Christ became man and dwelt among us, both body and soul. And so he is fully God, fully man, and he inhabits this body. So the teaching of Jesus' resurrection on the third day is a bodily resurrection, fitting in with the doctrines of creation and Christ's incarnation. His resurrection body, Christ's resurrection body, is both similar the body he had on Good Friday, and at the same time, different. For instance, Jesus ate fish with his disciples after he was raised. And he showed them the nail marks in his hands and invited them to touch him, his disciples. On the other hand, the resurrection body of our Lord both appeared and disappeared to the disciples when they were behind locked doors. From the incarnation on, Jesus has a body. And so it's not a trick question, but does Jesus still have a body in heaven? And the answer is yes. And so Jesus ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, making intercession for us, and he still and always will have a resurrected body. Another thing to mention in Isaiah 53:10 is this idea of the servant of the Lord seeing his offspring. These are not blood relatives of the Lord Jesus, but rather all those who trust in him as Lord and Savior, as both God and man. And so we are part of his spiritual family, the church. Wherever Jesus is preached and believed on as God and man and as the one who died on the cross and rose again, his family increases and makes forward progress. The resurrection stands for proof that everything that Jesus did and taught was true. All of his claims about being the divine Son of God, the way, the truth, and the life, whoever believes in him has eternal life. All these statements are verified and vindicated in the resurrection of our Lord. The resurrection of Christ is the ultimate validation and vindication that the gospel of Christ is true. Next, I come to the timing of Christ's victory over death, which calls us to proclamation and patient perseverance in the Christian faith. Isaiah 53:12 says this, "Therefore I will allot him a portion with the great, and he will divide the booty with the strong, because he poured out himself to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he himself bore the sin of many and interceded for the transgressors." The booty mentioned here is a military picture and a metaphor speaking of the spoils of war, in which the victorious army gained the material wealth, treasure, and the land that they had fought for in a battle and won. Jesus Christ, the Almighty Son of God, conquered our worst enemies of sin, death, and the devil. And so therefore, as part of his triumph, he shares this spiritual wealth with us, his children. He divides the rewards of his resurrection with his people who have been mentioned both in Isaiah 53:10 and 12. Christ has won and purchased for us these great blessings. Having borne our sins, justifying us, he declares us righteous in his sight and gives us his robe of righteousness. Ultimately, at the last day, we also shall receive from the Lord resurrection bodies. But let me put a qualifier on the extent of this reward that Christ wins for us. Christ's resurrection does not mean that we have the fullness of heaven on earth. And it is a grave mistake to act like our Lord's resurrection has totally wiped out the consequences of sin and death in this life. There is a false teaching quite prevalent in our day called the prosperity gospel, sometimes called the health and wealth gospel, because its message claims that God guarantees the physical healing and prosperity of believers in this life. And one of their verses they quote is actually from Isaiah 53:5, "But he was pierced through for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed." Isaiah 53:5 is quoted in 1 Peter 2:24, "And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed. While Isaiah 53 and 1 Peter 2 speak of God's people being healed by Christ's death, the healing being addressed is primarily the soul, that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. And so we are forgiven and our iniquities are cast away. That's how we're healed through Christ's atonement. Christian believers, since the death of Christ, continue to die without exception. And we will continue to die until Christ's second coming. So the hope of a total and final healing in this life is a false hope, not based upon the truth of God's word. God never promises total wellness and healing in this life. But there is an aspect of physical healing in the atonement, which is that all the faithful in Christ Jesus will one day be raised up, and that's our grand healing. At times, Christ, out of his mercy, does heal us in this life, but not all the time. And so, each time Christ healed somebody on earth, it was in essence a foretaste of resurrection. Our Lord's eventual and total defeat of sin and death hinges upon the certainty of his resurrection. We wouldn't have a blessed hope if Christ was not raised from the dead. And we will receive the full fruits of this booty, of the rewards that Christ won for us at the end of time. And so in this present age, we patiently work for and labor with the knowledge that we are God's adopted children through faith in Jesus Christ. We are forgiven of our sins, clothed with his righteousness, and our labor in the Lord is not in vain, but full of purpose. And so we shouldn't think of this life as if we're waiting at a bus stop, just waiting for Jesus to come or ourselves to die. We're just not killing time. We're trying to redeem time and use our gifts for the glory of God and for the benefit of others and the redemption of his creation. And so we must live our lives with this hope and be busy about turning away from sin and repentance and putting on the new man and putting and clothing ourselves, our lives, with the very righteousness that we already have. As the people of God, we must live as people of the resurrection, who have the resurrection hope and live in the power of Christ's resurrection, who has created us in righteousness and true holiness. We have a great hope in the Lord and in what is to come. And we have a lot of work to do today. So let us labor in the Lord in this great hope that we have the nature of Christ's resurrection with us, enabling us to live for his honor and glory. Let us pray. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, who by the glorious resurrection of your Son destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light, grant that we who have been raised with him may abide in his presence and rejoice in the hope of eternal glory. This we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
As the ushers prepare to